I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's good to be here with you all again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. Lord, we just ask your blessing, Father, on this time together. Help us to be faithful to you and to bring glory to you, Lord. Again, we just want to thank you for all that you do. Fill us with your spirit and give us wisdom, Lord, and understanding. Again, we just ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. Verse 33. It says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they will give an account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. What I wanted to bring out mainly in this passage is character, about who we are and our words, and not just our words. I think it goes much deeper than that. I don't think it's talking about every little word that you say that we're going to be judged by, but it's trying to teach us that what we are in our heart and what we really are will be revealed. It's not just he was talking to the Pharisees, he called them a brood of vipers. They had a very strict religious appearance to them, probably guarded every word that they said and made sure that it all fit just so, but yet even then, he was saying that their hearts were evil and they were full of corruption. And he talked about that several times. But out of the abundance of the heart is what we'll be judged by, or that's how we live. The evidence of what we have in us will come out, and that's what we're going to be judged by. And like I said, I don't think it's every little simple detail, but it's the character of who we really are. I appreciated Chad's opening talking about a lot of people will agree, yeah, that's right, you ought to live that way, but they don't want to do it themselves. And most people will agree that what we have is a real blessing, but they just don't want to do it themselves. The problem comes is that sometimes we can have all of that and say all the right things, but still not be fully committed ourselves. Jesus talked about our hearts being true and our eye being single. that if our eye is single, then everything we see will be surrounded around a proper purpose. And if our heart is single, the fruit of that heart is not just a religious exercise that we're doing, but it's the way we live, and it's coming out of a heart that loves God. And a lot of times I think it's so easy for us to get things kind of out of whack. You know, we might know how to say all the right things, but whenever it comes time to really do something, our heart's just not in it sometimes. We just do it because we're supposed to do it, or we have to do it. But I want us to just to have a look at our hearts. There was a little saying sometime that, or a man asked him, a man, what he did for a living, just as an example. And the man said, well, I'm a Christian. But he said, I'm a farmer to support my being a Christian. And sometimes we get so involved in what we're doing that we're just kind of a Christian on top of what we're doing and who we are. And it's pretty easy to get that way. We aren't a Christian first, and everything else is just a result of that or to support that. A lot of times we are so concerned about making a living, about being, building a home, building a place, that we get so caught up in doing that that we just kind of add being a Christian on top of that. That's out of order. That's not the purpose. That's not what Jesus was calling that rich young ruler that Chad talked about. That's what he was talking to him about. It wasn't that he would have anything so much, but what he wanted from God was just adding to his life. Instead of his heart and soul and mind and body and life being in God's hands and serving God, and anything added to that is just something that supports him living for God. And Jesus just put him to the question and just put his finger right where it mattered and said, are you living for me, or do you want me just to be living for you? See, we get, and that's where that rich young ruler was. Whenever he told him to sell what he had and follow him, is get things in order. Why am I not first in your life? Nothing wrong with all of the things that are going on around us. There's nothing wrong with all of those things. That we have to do them. You know, sometimes whenever I tell people that whenever I was 25 years old, I read those verses about selling what you had and following Jesus. I had almost 30 houses, apartments, 100 head of cattle. I had the whole world by the tail. But when I read those verses and I read those things about Jesus, or what Jesus was saying and what it really meant, I had to make a decision. It wasn't having the land or the cattle so much, but I was doing that and trying to add Jesus to my life instead of having Jesus and having those things to support my life. Just gets out of order sometimes. And I tell people that, and so they think, whoa, that means, they'll ask a lot of times when I tell people about that, well, so what do you do? And I just tell them, I work for a living. I still have a job. I still do all those things. Whenever he said, sell everything and follow me, it didn't mean quit living. He was just trying to get everything in order the way it should have been. And it's so easy for us to allow those things to take over our lives. We become so busy that Jesus kind of gets the back door because we have too many things to do. I read a verse that talks about that the angel, he swore to heaven and he said that there should be time no more. And I thought about that, that there's coming a time, and there'll be time no more. No more time to make sure we have everything we need. No more time to make sure we have a house built. No more time to do any of the things that we think are so important to us. There'll be time no more. The sad thing is there'll be no more time to put God first. There'll be no more time to do what we ought to do. There'll be no more time to face that question like the rich young ruler did. Who's going to be the king of my life? You know, time is the most precious thing in the world that we have. And I'm probably as bad as anybody about trying to fill my life because time is short. And I'm just wired not to want to miss out on anything or to miss anything because of time. And so I hate wasting time. I like to be busy. I like to be doing. I like to fill in as much of my life with whatever there is to do with time. But that's not what is the heart of, that's not what is important of how to manage time. You know, when we think of time, it's because I'm going to try to get as much done today as possible so that I don't waste my time. And so that's what we do. And we're pretty good at it. Just trying to maximize every moment of the day so we don't waste our time. But what is the purpose? What is the heart behind that efficiency in time? Is it so I can be a disciple of the Lord? Or is it because I love time and don't want to waste any of it? Being what I want to be and I want to do. See, wasting time, the rich young ruler pursuing all of the things that he wanted to pursue was wasting his time. And Jesus came along and said, quit wasting your time. Come and follow me. But he was too busy. Being efficient is not necessarily being a good steward of time. Having our hearts devoted to the Lord and His cause and being willing to be interrupted with our efficient schedules of time to do what we need to do because we love the Lord, that's much, much better than being so efficient with our time. Sometimes time is best spent just being alone with God for a while. You know, it kind of rubs us against the grain not to be doing something all the time. But there's times that we just need to be quiet before the Lord. You know, there's times that we just need to spend praying. Worshiping God and praising the Lord all by yourself might be the most valuable time that you have. Might just be the wisest investment of time that you do. But it kind of goads at us sometimes because we're so busy and so efficient trying to maximize our time that we just don't have time to spend time alone with the Lord. You know, when we look at the angels, those seraphims that are bowing before the Lord, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." You see them in Isaiah, and 2,000 or 3,000 years later, you see them in the Revelations. And guess what they're doing still? They're not wasting their time. They've completely devoted their time to the service of the Lord. We live in a world where there's flesh, there's things to be maintained, there's things to be taken care of, there's things to be done to support ourselves and help other people. And so we have to devote some of our time to those things. But it should be a time we devote to those things, not living for those things. That's the difference. There shall be time no more. Then all of our time will either have been wasted trying to serve two masters, or we will have devoted our time to the Lord, given our lives and hearts, mind, body, and soul to Him, and then just did these other things to support ourselves along the way. I think it's important that we have all those things in perspective. It's so easy for us to get those things out of order and all mixed up. That's what Jesus is talking about whenever He's talking about out of the good, or the good man brings out his good treasure, what is good, and the evil man brings out evil treasure, which is evil. If our heart and our eye be single, whatever we do will be good. But we can have the best intentions, and whatever we produce be evil, although it may appear to be good. If the Lord has our heart, I've been places, I've told you the stories about going preaching in the Philippines and different places all over the country, all over the world, and the pastor will come up and tell me, "You know, the people aren't tithing very much. Why don't you preach about tithing?" And, okay. So whenever I start talking, I just tell him, "I'm not going to preach about tithing. Not at all. I don't preach to billfolds. I preach to hearts. Because when the Lord has the heart, He has the wallet. But if the Lord has the wallet and don't have the heart, That doesn't do him any good at all. And the same thing with, I mean, that's the whole key behind everything. When the Lord has our heart, we've never even had to preach about tithing here. Because people want to give. Because the Lord has our hearts. And we just want to support and help and do whatever we can for each other and others. And it's the same way with our time. When the Lord has our heart, He has our time. Oftentimes we're just so busy that the Lord doesn't get our heart sometimes, and time chokes out that connection with the Lord in our heart. You know, the seed the man went out to sow, and one of those things he sowed, and the crops came up abundantly. But the weeds grew as well. And they choked out the word. The cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choked the word. The cares of this life, the deceitfulness of those things choke away our time, choke away our lives. That's why Jesus talks about our hearts. That if we'll keep our hearts where they're supposed to be, He's got all the rest of it. One of the thought about time, you know, worry. Probably one of the biggest wasters of time there is. I mean, in eternity, I mean, we can even think about now. We look back and think of all the time we worry about something, and then when it happens, it didn't happen anything like what we worried about. That's just all time wasted that could have been rejoicing. You know, we talk about just, when we think about doing something for the Lord, it always includes a whole bunch of people. Other people being able to see it. But, you know, when you're all by yourself, just rejoicing, praising the Lord, that is an efficient use of time that will not go unrewarded. But if we spend it all worrying and grumbling and complaining, that's an efficient waste of time. There's coming a time when there will be time no more. There's a little, they used to talk about the golden hour that had 60 diamonds in it. And then 60 rubies in the seconds of that hour. Time is the most precious thing we have. And the busiest man in here, his time is no more valuable than the least little child in here. All of our time is priceless. We can waste it, or we can have it devoted to the Lord. And whatever we do with our time, whenever He's in control of our hearts, is valuable. Whatever we do with our time, if He's not, is worthless. May the Lord add His blessings. We seek the Lord, have Him teach us to number our days. Life is but a span.
I'm thankful for the new house that we got, and we can share that with people by letting them stay in it and, you know, sharing our house with them.
My parents have helped me to have some stability in my life and just to help people out, and I want to pass that on to people around me or friends or whoever I'm working with. I'm thankful for good, helpful friends. I can try to be a good, helpful friend to other people, just to return what I've been given.
I'm thankful for having siblings and family that I can learn from, and for all the lessons my dad has taught me, and I want to teach my kids a lot of things the same way, and I'm thankful for that.
I'm thankful for all we've been taught here, and everything that's just been given to me, and I can share that with others by being a light wherever I work and whatever I do, and just have a good attitude and just be the just be a good example and share that with other people as well.
I'm thankful for this church and good family, and I can share that to others by passing it on to the next generations.
I'm thankful that we can come to church every morning and see everyone just the same as they always are, and just really glad and happy to see each other.
I'm thankful that we have a nice church and that I have a good family.
I'm thankful for being taught to give to others and to work with a will, and thankful for everyone here that I can help.
I'm thankful for my parents. They taught me a lot of valuable lessons in being responsible, and I'll pass it on to my friends and just by being responsible and being a hard worker.
Good morning, everybody. I'd like to read Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 24. And Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So I want to talk about a little bit how what it kind of means to be a Christian. And we get asked a lot if we're Mennonite or Amish. And we're like, no. And like, well, what denomination are you? And we're not. We're just Christians. And they're like, well, what do you believe in? And like, we're just the Bible. The Bible says that we try to live our life as closely to the Bible as we can. Just live our life by the Bible, not what we dress or how we dress or where. It's just we just try to do what Jesus' teachings are. And 99% of the time, they'll be like, oh, that makes sense, you know. They agree with it, but they don't, kind of like the rich young ruler when he asked what he must do to inherit eternal life. Jesus said, sell all you have and follow me. And there's kind of the mindset of that. Like the rich young ruler went away sorrowfully because he didn't want to give up all his stuff. We tell them that, that's kind of what they think. We tell them how we live our life and after the Bible, and they agree with it, but they don't necessarily want to do it, I guess is what I'm saying. Like, they don't have a problem with it. Like, they'll even tell you, like, that's good that you guys are doing that, but they don't want to have any part of it or whatever. But it's simple, honestly. Most denominations these days they have to do certain things or drive certain cars before they can be a part of the church or whatever, but That's not how Jesus had it when he was on this earth. He let anybody in and was kind and loving to everybody. And just, that's all I had. Thank you.